Now entering the truth zone, deep into the vortex of the information revolution, with your host, Michael B.
I am your host, Michael B., and this is the Truth Zone, deep within the vortex of the information revolution, and we are live. So, yesterday on Facebook, I was challenged to prove that climate change is a complete and utter fraud. So, that is what I'm going to do today. And, you know, I love it when, from time to time over the years, I've been challenged to prove something. That's a lot of fun for me, and I kind of get a charge out of it because, well, in high school debates, I'm undefeated, and in representing myself in court civilly, I'm also undefeated, 5-0, and I'll say one tie. Because it was a two-part thing, and I got one of them, didn't get the other, but the other dropped off anyway. And I actually beat the IRS, also self-represented, in a spousal relief situation with my ex-wife. So I've got a pretty good track record. Also, I settled for, and I cannot say who, because it's part of the agreement, I also settled a wrongful termination claim back in 2008, where I was awarded $20,000, and again, I represented myself. So, this is kind of fun for me. So, as I presented the five-part series, and no, this will be handled just today. The five-part series proving that the religion known as Islam is a satanic cult. I used a lawyerly approach to the topic, and I'm going to do that here. So I'm going to present several pieces of evidence. And at the end of this show, I am confident that everyone within the sound of my voice, and excuse me for the sip of coffee, will agree with me that the global warming, climate change, carbon footprint crap is a complete fraud. It's a complete fake agenda, which, by the way, Earth Day, that was created in the Soviet Union, by the way. So was frivolous and uncontested divorce. But that's a whole other subject. The liberalism that we're seeing in America today is nothing more than the Communist Manifesto transferred from Soviet Russia into the United States. And it's global warming nonsense, this fake science agenda, is simply that. It is a communist tactic to redistribute the wealth. No, not put it in the hands of everybody and have a level playing field. No, it's to redistribute the commonwealth of the masses and individual nations, and put that wealth into the hands of the global elite, a very, very small scintilla population of the world, while the rest of us get to bathe in the world of mediocrity and poverty. That's what this scam is. So I'm going to open up with Exhibit A, and I'm going to talk about two people that are some of the biggest advocates of this global warming agenda, and these advocates of we the people have to lower our carbon footprint. And I'm going to have a special guest that I'm going to put on the witness stand today, and that's the former commander-in-chief, the former president, Barack Hussein Obama, that will give us a very interesting statement about the ramifications that the planet could suffer should Africa ever modernize and come into the 21st century. So I'll be putting Barack Obama on the stand later on in the show. So let's start off with Leonardo DiCaprio. This is back in 2016, but of course, I talked about him the other day. I think it was it Friday or yesterday? I think it was Friday when Trump pulled out of the Paris climate, and I'm going to get into that too, how DiCaprio was absolutely gobsmacked, if that's a British term for my friends in Britain, and how the world suffered a setback. Well, let's talk about Leonardo DiCaprio. He likes to use the platform of his Oscar success to lecture tens of millions of viewers about global warming. But the actor failed to mention that he routinely uses a CO2-belching private jet to travel between L.A. and New York. After receiving his award for Best Actor last year, DiCaprio launched into a rant about man-made climate change. "Climate change is real," he said. "It is happening now. It is the most urgent threat affecting our species. We need to work together and stop procrastinating." The Revenant star, I guess that's the name of a movie that he did, went on to assert that global warming was the most urgent threat and that it's even affected the making of the movie for which he won the Oscar. Quote, "Our population needed to move to the southern tip of this planet just to find snow," he said, claiming 2015 was the hottest year on record. However, DiCaprio's passion for protecting the planet doesn't even extend to his own travel habits. And I've been remiss. This is coming from Infowars.com. Of course, the creator Alex Jones, which you can watch his show on the internet, Infowars.com/show, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Central Time, Monday through Friday, and again on Sundays 4 to 6 p.m. Central. And we have PrisonPlanet.com, I believe, at 7 p.m. Central Time as well. While lecturing everyone else about their impact on Earth, that's you and me, folks, our impact, DiCaprio routinely flies between New York and L.A. in a carbon dioxide-spewing private jet. After the Sony email leak, it was revealed that Wolf of Wall Street actor took six private round-trip private jet flights in the space of just 6 weeks between April and May of 2014. Travel records also show that DiCaprio took a private jet from L.A. to Las Vegas and stayed in Sin City for just 8 hours before flying home again. Quote, "Each time the studio picked up the cost of the plane as well as catering and car service at the departure and arrival destinations," report the Daily Mail. DiCaprio's hypocrisy is even more evident given his financial support for Green World Rising, which encouraged visitors to its website to lighten their carbon load and even includes a CO2 calculator to help people take meaningful action to reduce their carbon footprint. Now, What people might not understand is that trees need carbon dioxide to survive and to grow. And maybe people don't realize that without CO2, trees don't make oxygen, and without oxygen, mammals don't live. Matter of fact, all land animals don't live. So, if any of you have ever heard of Agenda 21 and sustainable development, and if you really looked into it, you would realize that it is a plot to reduce the population. Now, Agenda 21 has morphed into Agenda 2030, which is basically creating a global technocracy, making human beings obsolete. And the main goal of Agenda 2030 is to create a human elite class and a mass human slave class to run the machines while the elites get the best of everything. I know this sounds like a science fiction movie, but I urge all of you to check out Agenda 2030 and then find out what several analysts have to say. So let's go to Michael Savage. Now, Michael Savage is an independent radio host, SavageNation.com. Michael Savage has 7 doctorates. Yes, 7. Michael Savage isn't beholden to government or mainstream media money. He is 100% independent. So, Mr. Savage states, oh, he talks about Leonardo DiCaprio. Leo should spend an afternoon on dry land reading some of the actual science. He could start with my book, Government Zero, which I talked about last week as well, in which Savage wrote extensively about independent research, notably the Vostok ice core samples. Those samples are evidence that must be included in any and all discussions about so-called man-made global warming. The samples were obtained by drilling down into the ice above Lake Vostok in Antarctica to a depth of 10,000 feet. French and Russian scientists obtained deep core samples, allowing them to look at, among other things, the history of temperature and carbon dioxide over the past 420 years. Michael Savage won't rehash all the information that he provided in Government Zero, but he'll give the highlights. These samples prove, for one, that CO2 is not causing global warming. They suggest precisely the opposite. Sorry, I lost my place because I had a post on Facebook. Because they show the increases in CO2 in the past always occurred after average global temperatures rose. They also show that hundreds of thousands of years ago, both global temperatures and CO2 levels were much higher than they are today. Much higher. And I wonder what the effect on our automobiles and our electric consumption was thousands of years ago. I don't have the data on that, but we can all speculate as to the damage caused by man's carbon footprints thousands of years ago. Right. Michael Savage doesn't think that he has to try too hard to prove to most readers of this book that global warming is a hoax fabricated for political and monetary ends. But he does want you to know the science backs up that claim 100%. If you have doubts because all you've heard for the past 8 years is the science is settled and that virtually every climate scientist agrees. Because Michael Savage is a scientist himself, just writing the words "the science is settles" galls him. One thing every real scientist knows is nothing is ever settled. If that were true, we'd never have heard of Albert Einstein. Newtonian physics would have simply been settled science. So, carbon emissions in the distant past were much, much higher. So, let's go to Larry Tomczak Ministries. We're going to talk about Al Gore, which, by the way, I talked about Mr. Gore last week also. His energy consumption is 10 times more than the average American household. 10 times more, okay? So, I don't see Mr. Gore reducing his footprint. So, let's go into Larry Tomczak. This goes back to 2016. The sky is falling. The sky is falling. Wake up before it's too late. Soon, Al Gore's An Inconvenient Truth will celebrate its 10th, now 11th anniversary. The film revealed the grave threat of global warming. On January 26, 2006, the Washington Post stated, "Al believes humanity may have only 10 years left to save the planet from turning into a total frying pan." Larry Tomczak's Tennessee neighbor won an Oscar and Nobel Prize for sounding the alarm in book and film as a climate control Cape Crusader. Gore crisscrossed countries, waving his arms passionately, declaring, "We can't wait. We have a planetary emergency. The future of human civilization is at stake. Global warming is the greatest challenge we've ever faced." In an article highlighting his tireless service for humanity, the Washington Post labeled him the world's most renowned crusader on climate change. Wow! And remember, he almost became president of the United States if it weren't for a few hanging chads that didn't go to his column. President Obama subsequently picked up the crisis, telling world leaders that climate change, not Islamic terrorism, or skyrocketing unsustainable debt is the number one issue facing us today. At a recent Global Paris Summit, he pushed this agenda with urgency. The cost of his United Nations Global Warming Treaty came in at $12.1 trillion, or $484 billion yearly, according to Bloomberg, and we're going to get into those stats later on. Gore's efforts made him an environmental hero, but took a tragic toll on his marriage. His marriage of 40 years to Tipper ended in a shocking divorce. Today, 68-year-old Gore alternates residence in two gorgeous, spacious homes in Nashville and California. Leaving his office with assets of $2 million, Gore now has wealth estimated at over $100 million. Al's movie cost $1 million and brought in $50 million. He hauls in at least $100,000 in speaking fees and is tied to at least 14 green tech firms, sits strategically on certain boards, plus benefits from Obama grants. Oh, wow. We call that crony capitalism in these parts. And millions in tax breaks. Oh, I bet. He's on his way to becoming what one congressional leader called our first carbon billionaire. Right. While we get levied carbon taxes. Are you members of the jury? Because that's who you are. You, the audience, are the jury. I'm just a prosecutor, okay? So, here's the deal. Masses of people are misinformed or misled on issues such as physician-assisted suicide, marijuana legalization, unrestricted abortion, wholesale immigration, socialism, a war on women, free entitlements, and pandemic Wall Street fraud. Similarly, people are manipulated and deceived regarding dire climate change global warming reports. The hysteria and apocalyptic fear-mongering reminds many of the 1970 Earth Day predictions that fizzled like a firecracker. End of civilization, 15 to 30 years. We're still here, folks. 100 to 200 million deaths to starvation yearly for 10 years. Nope. A new ice age by 2000. Nope. The good news is that many people are wising up. Yes, we are, hence the Donald Trump presidency. Because of long-standing behavior that is suspect to say the least, multitudes view as con artist millionaires like Gore, Michael Moore, the Clintons, and others who prey on the gullible and get rich off causes, advance their fame, and live lavish lifestyles off the backs of the unsuspecting. Hillary told us they were almost broke leaving the White House, and when she was on Time Magazine's cover saying, "I know what it's like to be knocked down," all the while she and her husband have amassed over $120 million in speaking fees, and I'm not even going to get into the the Clinton Foundation due to time constraints. A January YouGov poll of 17 countries found that 91% of Americans are not concerned about global warming. The number one concern, global terrorism. And it should be. Patrick Moore, the legendary past president of Greenpeace, says, "There's no definitive proof of through real-world observation that carbon dioxide is responsible for any of the slight warming of global climate which has occurred during the past 300 years." Right. Because as Michael Savage pointed out, CO2 emissions has nothing to do with global warming. Let's see. Yes, he rejects the science is settled and the debate is over. Notice how he is the past president of Greenpeace. Yeah, because he saw the light. Greenpeace is full of crap. Recently, even the Supreme Court weighed in with an extraordinary rebuke to President Obama's attempt to control carbon emissions. So, what else do we got? So, let's see. Rising sea level. Oh, so let's get to the 10 years of Al Gore's inconvenient truth, guilt, fear-producing predictions, which have never come true, by the way. One, rising sea levels, inaccurate and misleading. Al Gore was even discovered purchasing a beachfront mansion. Increased tornadoes have been declining for decades. New ice age in Europe. They've been spared. It never happened. Southern Sahara drying up. Completely untrue. Massive flooding in China and India. Again, didn't happen. Melting Arctic. False. 2015 represents the largest refreezing in years. Polar bear extinction. Actually, they're increasing. Matter of fact, I want to jump real quick to an article by the Daily Caller on that. Polar bear numbers still on the rise despite global warming. The new population estimates from the 2016 Scientific Working Group are somewhere between 22,633 to 32,257 bears, which is a net increase from the 2015 number of 22,000 to 31,000. The current population numbers are a sharp increase from 2005's, which stated only 20 to 25,000 bears remained. Those numbers were a mere increase from estimates that only 8,000 to 10,000 bears remained in the late 60s. Until the new study, bear subpopulations in the Baffin Bay and Cane Basin, were thought to be in decline due to overhunting and global warming. The new report indicates that is not the case. Scientists are increasingly realizing that polar bears are much more resilient to changing levels of sea ice than environmentalists previously believed, and numerous healthy populations are thriving. So, let's go back to Al Gore. So, temperature increases due to CO2, no significant rising over 18 years. Katrina, a foreshadow of the future, false. past 10 years, no F3 hurricanes, longest drought in hurricanes ever. So it's just not the case, folks. The Earth would be in a true planetary emergency within a decade unless drastic action taken to reduce greenhouse gases. It never happened. A while back, the Washington Post stated in an expose that Al Gore has thrived as a green tech investor. Coincidental? Let's find out. Was it also coincidental that at the recent climate summit in Paris, there was a red carpet, and this is 2016, and I'm going to jump after this to what Donald Trump saved us from, which another Facebook friend of mine gave me, and I'm going to roll off those stats. So there was a red carpet debut of a dynamic film called Climate Hustle just down the street. Huh. The groundbreaking film exposing the junk science of global warming will be seen on Capitol Hill in theaters, then on DVD soon. So you can check that out at climatehustle.org. Another excellent and humorous documentary that Mr. Tomczak enjoyed on this topic is An Inconsistent Truth by talk show host Phil Valentine of Nashville. It's fascinating when Phil goes to Al's gated home. Check it out on YouTube for a hearty laugh. Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. told us, "Darkness cannot drive out darkness, only light can." It's films like the above and videos like those being seen at BullseyeChallenge.com, along with the Bullseye book, that are dispelling darkness by truth that's only inconvenient to those refusing to listen. So, I want to jump into what Donald Trump saved us from, this fake, phony Paris Climate Accord, that finally we have a real, legitimate president that pulled us out. Should we have stayed into the Paris Climate Agreement, the United States would lose 6 million industrial jobs, including 3.1 million manufactured jobs by 2025. Cost to the U.S. economy, $3 trillion in lower gross domestic product. Household income would drop, on average, by $7,000 or more. The agreement imposed no meaningful obligation to the world's leading polluters. And I'm going to get into who they are in moments away. Even if all members met all of their commitments, the impact would be negligible. Somewhere between 0.02%, which China could wipe out with just 14 days of emissions. This agreement keeps us from becoming energy independent. Us, meaning the United States. Energy costs would rise by up to 20% for Americans. Obama bypassed Congress to sign this agreement, which is unconstitutional on its face. Let's see. China is able to increase emissions for the next 13 years. And I'm going to get into where they fall into the Environmental Performance Index. China will be allowed to build hundreds of additional coal plants. India's participation is contingent upon receiving billions of dollars from developing countries. India will be allowed to double its coal production, but we have to get rid of ours. And again, I'm going to point out where China, well, the United States, China, and India, where they fall on the Environmental Performance Index. That's coming soon. Europe is allowed to continue to build coal plants. The agreement doesn't eliminate coal jobs. It just transfers them to foreign countries. That's the redistribution of wealth that I talked about moments ago. This agreement was not about climate. It was about gaining financial advantage over the United States. It was nothing more than a massive redistribution of U.S. wealth to other countries and to the elites who invest in programs that will be funded by the trillions that would have been taken from American taxpayers. Now, as I mentioned in those statistics, China and India, under this agreement, by U.S. taxpayer funding and the elimination of our coal industry, would be allowed to double their coal industries. Well, let's find out where these countries sit. In 2014 EPI Environmental Performance Index ranking, the top five countries were Switzerland, Luxembourg, Australia, Singapore, and the Czech Republic. The bottom five countries were Somalia, Mali, Haiti, Lesotho, and Afghanistan. The United Kingdom was ranked 12th, Japan 26th, the United States 33rd, Brazil 77th. Now here it comes. The United States of America is 33rd. China, 118th on the Environmental Performance Index. India came in at 155. So I ask you, is this a United States climate change issue, or is this a global climate change issue? If this is a global warming problem, if this is a global carbon footprint problem, why then would you diminish the coal industry from a country that is ranked 33rd best on the Environmental Performance Index and transfer it to two countries, China and India, that came in 118th and 155th respectively? Now, why would you do that? Would you leave your children with a convicted pedophile? I don't think so. So, just on that face, just what I've presented to you in 30 minutes, and I've got more, do you truly want to believe that this global warming is legitimate? Do you really want to? So, I'm going to continue on. So, Al Gore, in his fraudulent movie, talked about the Arctic ice disappearing, rising sea levels, floods, polar bears drowning to death. Well, we have an article here published by Ice Age Now Info. Climate shock. 90% of the world's glaciers are growing. A new NASA study released on Friday. Now, I got to refresh my... Oh, it was 2016. So, this is 7 months ago, because it was in November. Admits that ice is accumulating in Antarctica. Satellite measurements show an 82 to 112 gigaton a year net ice gain. That's 82 to 112 billion tons per year. Nine zeros. It's hard to comprehend how much ice that really is. So let's put it in perspective. Let's assume that they're talking short tons, 2,000 pounds. That's about the weight of an old Volkswagen Beetle. Those old Beetles measured 14 feet long. Multiply 112 billion by 14 feet, and you get 1,560 billion feet. Divide that by the distance from the Earth to the Moon, 239,000 miles, and you have a string of Volkswagen Beetles stretching all the way to the Moon. Not once, not twice, but 45 times, all the way to the Moon ladies and gentlemen. That's a hell of a lot of new ice. Every single year, and we're worried about global warming? Not only is the Antarctic ice sheet growing, NASA admits that the growth is actually reducing sea level rise. Who'd have thunk? This also confirms what the author's been saying all along. Antarctica contains 90% of the Earth's ice. If the Antarctic ice sheet is growing, wouldn't that mean that more than 90% of the world's glaciers are growing? Here are excerpts taken from NASA's own website. A new NASA study says that an increase in Antarctic snow accumulation that began 10,000 years ago is currently adding enough ice to the continent to outweigh the increased losses from its thinning glaciers. The research challenges the conclusions of other studies, including the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change's IPCC 2013 report, which says that Antarctica is overall losing land ice. False! According to the new analysis of satellite data, the Antarctic ice sheet showed a net gain, again, of 120 billion tons of ice a year from 1992 to 2001. That net gain slowed to 82 billion tons of ice per year between 2003 and 2008. Still gaining, though, isn't it? Quote, "We're essentially in agreement with other studies that show an increase in ice discharge in the Antarctic Peninsula and the Thwaites and Pine Island region of West Antarctica," says Jay Zwali, a glaciologist with NASA Goddard Space Flight Center in Greenbelt, Maryland, and lead author of the study, which was published on October 3rd of 2016 in the Journal of Glaciology. "Our main disagreement is for East Antarctica and the interior of West Antarctica. Thus, we see an ice gain that exceeds the losses in other areas." Well, the Earth is ever-changing, isn't it? You have ebb and flow. Ever heard of that? I have. Zwali added that his team measured small height changes over large areas as well as the large changes observed over smaller areas. They also used information on snow accumulation for tens of thousands of years derived by other scientists from ice cores to conclude that East Antarctica has been thickening for a very long time. So much for that. Now I want to call into another piece of evidence. Scientific emails that have been uncovered to show that scientists faked data. Faked data, ladies and gentlemen. And this comes from a mainstream media outlet, the Washington Times, back in 2011. The latest release of 5,000 emails from the University of East Anglia's Climate Research Unit reconfirms what the 2009's ClimateGate files established. Those were the UCLA emails, as I recall. Global warming is more fiction than science. The basic problem with climate research is that it is at best soft science. I like to call it pseudoscience. And this leaked correspondence demonstrates just how unsettled it is. Observations do not show rising temperatures throughout the tropical troposphere unless you accept one single study and approach and discount a wealth of others, one scientist wrote. This is just downright dangerous. We need to communicate the uncertainty and be honest. Nonsense, another concluded. The trick may be to decide on the main message and use that to guide what's included and what is left out. But what if the whole warming phenomenon is mainly a multi-decadal natural fluctuation? Oh my! One scientist muses, quote, they'll kill us probably. The fact that different climate studies reach widely different conclusions is not surprising. Much of the global warming debate centers on the output of highly questionable computer models that conjure figures from scarcely understood variables, dubious raw data, and gaping holes filled with assumptions that usually confirm that researchers' biases. Yeah, most likely scientists that are federally funded through grants to push this phony agenda. No wonder that even as reliable temperature measurements show global temperatures have flatlined or been falling for the past decade, claims of imminent catastrophe have grown more shrill. Garbage in, warning out. None of this would matter outside the halls of academia, except that this field's activists have spent years lobbying governments to reorganize whole economies. Yeah, that's the global distribution of wealth. And let's diminish the coal industry in a country ranked 33rd and hand it over to 118 and 155 respectively. That's brilliant. Those who disagreed with the warmest agenda were systematically excluded from high-level documents like the now-discredited 2007 report by the United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. This and other evidence have been seized by popularizers like former Vice President Al Gore to foist distorted doomsday scenarios on innocent schoolchildren, panicky liberals, and other credulous people. Warmists dismiss the leaked emails or complain they... Oh, I love this. This is the liberals' favorite expression, taken out of context. Not so. Collectively, the emails provide evidence of various crimes against the scientific method, such as concealed or destroyed source data. Oh, like when Hillary destroyed her email private servers and cell phones. Right. Selective measurement, predetermined conclusions, hidden funding sources, yeah, and bowing to government influence. They knew they were doing wrong and sought to hide the evidence. Quote, one way to cover yourself, wrote Professor Phil Jones, head of the CRU, oh, I love this, would be to delete all emails at the end of the process. Hard to do, as not everybody will remember to do it. Fortunately for science, Mr. Jones, for once, was correct. So, the evidence has shown that scientists under government influence fabricated and falsified global warming evidence and admitted through inter-discussions via email that they were doing so. And if the real data came out, one scientist, and of course, you know, they would literally be killed, but he said, you know, they kill us. Yeah, that's right. So, I want to conclude with former President Barry Obama. This is coming from ZeroHedge.com. Turns out politicians do occasionally keep their promises. For example, in 2008, Obama vowed to bankrupt the coal industry by imposing massive fines on greenhouse gas emissions. Obama made the following statement to the San Francisco Chronicle in 2008. So if somebody wants to build a coal-powered plant, they can. It's just that it will bankrupt them because they're going to be charged a huge sum for all that greenhouse gas that's being emitted. In fact, six of America's largest public coal mining companies, including Walter Energy, James River, Patriot Coal, Alpha Natural Resources, Arch Arc Coal, and Peabody Energy have all filed for bankruptcy over the past 2 years, destroying billions in shareholder value and leaving thousands of people unemployed in Kentucky, West Virginia, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. And Ohio voted for Obama twice. Talk about suicide by socialism. Per BLS data, coal mining jobs, and that's, I believe this Bureau of Labor Stats, coal mining jobs in the U.S. peaked around 90,000 at the end of Obama's first term, but have since declined by over 42% to around 50,000 as mining companies have filed for bankruptcy and shuttered, also known as closed down mines. So, I am now going to put Barack Obama on the stand. President Barack Hussein Obama, would you please tell us what the ramifications in your mind, based on your extreme expertise on the carbon footprint discussion, could you please tell us, very clear words, what the ramifications to the planet would be should the continent of Africa enter the 21st century?
Africa, we're going to all have to work together to find ways in which collectively we reduce carbon, but we make sure that there's some differentiation so that countries that are very wealthy are expected to do more, and countries that are still developing, you know, obviously they shouldn't be resigned to poverty simply because, you know, the West and Europe and America got there first. That wouldn't be fair. But everybody's going to have to do something. Everybody's going to have to make some important choices here. And, you know, I expect that it's going to be your generation that helps lead this, because if we don't, it's going to be your generation that suffers the most. Ultimately, if you think about all the youth that everybody's mentioned here in Africa, if everybody's raising living standards to the point where everybody's got a car and everybody's got air conditioning and everybody's got a big house, well, the planet will boil over unless we find new ways of producing energy.
So, President Obama said the world will boil over if Africa gets air conditioning. The plaintiff rests. My name is Michael B. This is the Truth Zone, deep within the vortex of the information revolution. See you tomorrow, 10 a.m. Central Time.